Now, back to Open House with Team Reba.
Welcome back to Open House with Team Reba. I'm Eric Osnes from ericismybanker.com.
And I'm Reba Haas from Team Reba.
And we're here with Randy Banneker from Banneker & Associates, again, talking about land use and how that impacts all of us. And man, oh man, I mean, if you want to see an impact of land use, drive down Rainier Avenue.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Right now, or follow the light rail line. You know, 15, 20 years ago, you know, those neighborhoods were, let's call them in transition. Mm-hmm. And you look at them now, and like, I'll give a good example, Othello Street, you know, Othello mm-hmm. Station.
Yep.
You know, there's tons of new development. There's mid-rise yep. Apartments, I'm assuming, are most of those retail on the main floors.
And a lot of townhouses and things coming through as well. Some of our past clients, mm-hmm. Kip and Joey, they bought near there. They're watching all the new growth.
That's right. That's right. So that's density, right?
Right.
So tell us how that all kind of fits into our plan here for the region.
So that's a really unpleasant word for a lot of people, right? Because it.
Let's keep a positive spin on this, shall we? I think it's positive. Come on, listeners, get positive.
People tend not to like change, and I think that's okay. I think the cities need to earn trust a little bit better than they have in the past in terms of really working with those neighborhoods to put a plan and a zoning program that relates to that plan that is desirable and doesn't look in the rearview mirror to build a code that tries to avoid the last building we saw and didn't like. And that's kind of what we do. We do a reactionary land use code process. We need to turn that around because we're making enormous investments in light rail. Like you said, Eric, mm-hmm. we're seeing things change, but we could get so much more. So we need to pivot and think about how we can use multifamily densities mm-hmm. adjacent to transit areas to really drive some energy and some mm-hmm. vibrance and intensity there and use that also as a tool to protect our legacy single family neighborhoods.
Right.
Sure.
Oh, I 100% agree with you. And here's part of the thing of, I think we forget in our urban planning, all the other things that need to go along with that. Because I hear housing, I hear transit, and it's like, and then there's all the services that need to go with it because you can't, it doesn't make any sense to do all of that when everyone might still need to get in their car to go to the grocery store, right? You need all of those same services all need to be kind of built in and around it. I know like the city of Renton is, you know, looking at moving one of their transit centers and they're hoping that maybe what they could get is a multifamily building with a grocery store. It's kind of like when the Westlake 2200 first came in when Vulcan started developing in South Lake Union, and they put the Whole Foods plus, you know, condos plus a hotel, you know, and all of that, and then office buildings. I mean, they have a little bit of what we're all looking for, except for that's probably a little too much than most people could handle. But you do have to have all those services and things available, and that's what most people want. Because, I mean, I'm going to take it even outside of the region here. Like, if you've ever traveled, say, to Paris, and you think about the arrondissements or neighborhoods who are there, you know, you get the 13th arrondissement, the 5th arrondissement, and they've got transit centers with their subways, and they have their buses and taxis available, now probably Uber and Lyft too. But they have all these dense, beautiful buildings that have wonderful shops on the bottom floors where you can go get all those grocery items, the service items that you need, and the cafes and restaurants and all of that. And that's what, you know, frankly, millennials up to baby boomers are all looking for.
Right.
You know, and my generation is too. I mean, if I could actually do that, I would. You know, and not everybody wants a yard to take care of anymore.
So I think it's a transitional thing. So, you know, cities like Paris and even Boston and New York, I mean, these cities were created before the automobile.
Right.
Out on the West Coast, different story. We were built on the automobile. So we've got a transition into making that density convenient. And it's going to be a transition.
And attractive.
Yeah, but it's not impossible because so you mentioned Paris. Let me I my favorite little factoid about Paris is actually from Matthew Gardner, who's Windermere's economist.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, the economist.
Great guy. He points out that Paris's population is 2.2 million people.
Mm-hmm.
And you could fit the square mileage of Paris into North Seattle. And yet the entire population of Seattle is 730,000 people.
Right.
So we're not close to being dense.
No.
And yet you can
except in other ways sometimes.
Right.
Sorry.
Stop looking at me. I'm just kidding.
But you can do density in a way that's really wonderful, like Paris.
Yeah.
And that should be what our aspiration is, to think in that context.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I'm a big fan of all of that. And if it can be good looking development that has all of these resources available to it, I can't even begin to tell you how many conversations I have with people around that every single day. In fact, I miss it a little bit. I used to live in core Seattle and in the North End neighborhoods, and I could walk. I didn't have to drive my car everywhere all the time. I love being able to just walk or take my bike or whatever. And I had everything I needed in any direction. And where I live now, even though I like the city of Renton, I'm a mile and a half away. Mm-hmm. And most people want those services usually within about a half mile, if possible, if they're going to make it more of a walkable kind of opportunity for them, right? So I do miss that at times, but I also like my neighbors better.
Yeah,
I hate to say that, but I do like my neighbors better.
The other thing that I think it's important to think about is for those who would resist the growth that's occurring in their communities is the alternative, which is possible, is to rethink growth management and push out that urban growth boundary. But 25 years ago, we said, no, we're going to try to focus our growth in urban areas so we can protect rural and rural and resources.
Yeah, we'll lose the quality of life that is what causes some people to move here, or for many of us who have moved here, or that we've been here a long time and we love it here. I mean, Eric and I are both of two different timelines. I mean, you grew up here and I moved here 30 years ago, but we love the same things about this area.
Absolutely.
And I don't want to lose those.
No, absolutely. Well, and a good example locally here would be Vancouver, BC.
Right.
If you look at Vancouver,
much more
gorgeous,
dense.
Gorgeous city.
Yeah, love it.
But much, much more dense and it's condos.
Well, and I will say a lot of the condo developers who try to come down here are from the Vancouver area because they know they've done it in one other market, and then they get so much resistance and or the liability issues down here.
I think it's going to change, and I think let's look to Vancouver as a great model for really high end design and an integration of those. I mean, Vancouver is what it's been so successfully with condos is it's integrated into the station, the SkyTrain station.
Right.
Right.
And so, you have those services there. You've got some community there. You've got a short hop into downtown for jobs, what have you. And we can do that here in a way that is very Seattle-y and fits.
We just have to make sure everybody's sort of on the same page, with everything.
Right.
And with our political leaders and that they're not fighting against developers.
Right.
That we have to kind of work together on that. And if we can maybe get them going that way, we could see a transformation of this region. So, Randy, if people want to reach out to you, is there a good way to contact you?
Sure. It's my email, wrbann@seanet.com.
Okay. Wr.
B as in boy, A-N-N,
okay.
At cnet.com, S-E-A-N-E-T.com.
Excellent. So you also do public relations as well, Randy, correct?
Yeah, largely I do public affairs. So my work is more policy related than it is kind of product marketing related.
Got it. Yeah. So not doing any sort of tuition work for, movie star
No, that's
Ivy
how
League
we met
schools
through
or
the
things like that.
Association of Realtors, actually, government public affairs.
Well, really glad you were on the show today, Randy. Thanks again for joining us so much. I learned a ton today.
I'm super excited about all the changes coming our way.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next Saturday at 2 o'clock. Thanks for joining.
Thank you for listening to Open House with Team Reba. To contact us, visit Team Reba at re/max Metro Eastside on Facebook or email info@teamreba.com. Join us again next Saturday afternoon at 2 for more Open House with Team Reba here on AM 1590. The Answer. The preceding program was sponsored by Team Reba of RE/MAX Metro East Side and Eric Osnes of EricIsMyBanker.com.